we have identified in terms of the trade. There have been numerous examples in our report. We expose a series of loopholes and weaknesses in arms export controls, which are common really across many G8 countries. But just to give you some examples of the ones that affect Africa, we have French exports in the United Nations category of bombs, grenades, ammunition, mines, and other that are going to Sudan, despite the fact that the European Union has an arms embargo on Sudan. So they should never have been sent in the first place. Another area we have is a loophole in Italian law allowing large quantities of civilian firearms, as they call them, to be exported to countries, again, suffering gross human rights violations, such as the Republic of Congo. And perhaps one of the most flagrant examples, in an earlier Amnesty report, we saw Russian exports of heavy weaponry, including combat aircraft, to states whose forces have committed abuses in Ethiopia, Algeria, Uganda, and even Sudan. Now, in the case of Sudan, we found the Russians exporting MiG jet fighters to the Sudanese government, despite evidence that those MiG fighters had been used to bomb civilians in the villages or to support attacks on the Darfurian villages by the Janjaweed, who are allied to the government forces. So there's really quite a plethora of absolutely irresponsible arms exports affecting Africa and elsewhere.
Now, Russian arms exports, such as to Sudan, they would come under the purview of what, EU bans or UN bans? Because the Russians, of course, are not an official part of the EU, so they would not be covered by EU bans, would they?
No, of course, Russia is not covered by the European Union embargo on Sudan. And in fact, Russia has blocked even the establishment of an arms embargo on Sudan, on the Sudanese government, on regular occasions at the United Nations, often in the very same month that they're busy sending the arms to the Sudanese government. And they've done that along with the Chinese. There is no restraint at the moment on Russia, and that's why it's so desperately important that we have this international, tough and enforceable arms trade treaty that puts all countries on a level playing field, so that if Russia gives up its arms exports, it doesn't have to see another country step in and send them instead.
Regarding the loopholes, the European loopholes in the sales of arms to some countries in Africa, how do these loopholes exist, given that, for example, with Sudan, for example, there is an EU ban on arms to Sudan and perhaps to other countries?
It's because the EU Code of Conduct on Arms Exports is not thorough enough in its definitions of what arms are banned, and because individual governments quite simply refuse to tell anybody what they're exporting. I mean, a very good example of this is France, which up until 2003 has been exporting arms, despite an EU embargo, to Sudan in the category of grenades and other munitions, and then they put "and others" at the end of this category. Now, of course, no one knows whether those others are perfectly harmless things, but it's very suspicious that it's in the category along with extremely lethal weapons. And the French government, well, we have written twice to the French government asking them exactly what they're putting in this category, and they have not replied to us. So one of the things with the Arms Trade Treaty that's so important is to demand that states publish openly annual reports about exactly what they're exporting and who they're exporting it to.
Where is the treaty at this point? Is this the effort backed by Britain that will be discussed with the G8?
A proposal for an arms trade treaty is going to be put before foreign ministers of the G8 countries who are meeting here in London tomorrow. What it says is, or what we're proposing that it says, because it hasn't yet been negotiated, is that it would make it illegal to supply arms to any destination where they're likely to be used to to violate international human rights and humanitarian law. And this, once incorporated into national law, because all treaties can be incorporated into national law, it make it possible to challenge government export decisions through the courts. It would also establish a new global standard which would create a level playing field for all states to stop any other states taking advantage and supplying the arms themselves. And finally, such a treaty would also bring greater transparency to this murky arms trade by obliging states to authorize all arms transfers and publish comprehensive national annual reports on those transfers. And this would enable public scrutiny and parliamentary oversight of the international arms trade.